Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Numbers 11, 4 through 6, and 10 through 16. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth? That you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers.' Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand with you." Well, due to an accident, a minister had to have all of his remaining teeth pulled, and a set of new dentures was made for him. The first Sunday he preached, after this happened, he only preached for 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he only preached for 20 minutes. But on the third Sunday, he preached for an hour and a half. Well, it didn't take long after an hour and a half sermon for the congregation to kind of start talking to each other. And one of the deacons, they said, "You're going to go talk to the pastor and just let him know that we're not happy with what's going on." And so the pastor, you know, he went up to them. The person went up and said, "You know, people are kind of complaining about the length of the sermon. You know, what's going on?" And the minister said, "Well, on the first Sunday, my gums hurt so much that I had to keep it short. The second Sunday, my gums started to feel a little better, and that's why I could go a little bit longer. So, and after a while, you know, and so then on the third Sunday, I had grabbed my mother's old dentures, and that's why I couldn't stop talking." Now, if anybody wants to complain about that joke, I'll be the one wearing the robe outside. And I can do that because my mother was a talker. She would talk to people in the checkout line, and it was embarrassing for me, but I could do the same exact thing. It's the circle of life. Complaining, it's often said for many to be a national pastime. We know people that love to complain about everything. They moan about the weather, if it's too hot, or it's too cold, it's too windy, it's too wet. In fact, some people literally will complain and moan about anything and everything. We live in a society that we have so much, yet at the same time, it's a society that in a lot of ways complains so much. It seems to me that the more we have, the more space we have to complain. And that brings us to this scripture this morning in Numbers chapter 11. Here the people who are moaning and grumbling and complaining. And Will Bowen says, "Complaining's like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own." So we can read this and be, man, what's up with these people? You know, what do they want? But then we have to be really careful, right, when we do that with the scripture, because sometimes, just sometimes, we can be like that too. Maybe just kinda. Because like the ancient Hebrews people, we can be very good at complaining. This morning I want to talk about the difference, though, between complaining and what the people in this passage were doing. But the scripture tells us a few things about complaining, and we'll get into that. But first, complaining, first of all, I want to be very clear. Complaining is okay to do. We're not, you know, perma-smile, or as my friend would always say, we don't run around blowing sunshine bubbles. I don't know what that means, but it's true. We don't have to be people that are constantly running around blowing sunshine bubbles into the world. Life is hard, and we have feelings, and we need to let those feelings out from time to time. And sometimes that looks like complaining. So don't leave today and say, well, Pastor Malcolm said I can't complain, because then you are complaining about not being able to complain. You can see where that would be a catch-22. So don't leave. You are allowed to complain. Complaining is very okay when it's done right, with the right heart, in the right place, as a simple overflow, innocent overflow of feelings around things that are going on. But that's not what's happening in this passage here. The people started to complain. In verse 4, it says, the rabble with them began to crave other foods. Who are the rabble? Well, we all know rabble, right? Everyone uses, you know, people in our life probably use that word, the rabble rousers, right? You can say they're a gang or a horde of people with trouble on their mind. But they are the ones, there's a small group that starts to complain. They want other foods. They start complaining to everyone about that. And they wanted meat. And manna was like we talked about, was like a bread or a cake. So it was mostly carbs. So, you know, maybe these people wanted some more protein, like meat or fish in their diet. They wanted the vegetables and the fruits, too, that they had in Egypt, like cucumbers, melon, maybe watermelon or squash, leeks, onion, garlic. They got sick of eating manna every day in the desert. But they did have meat. We know that like, right? Remember the big fat birds that kind of landed each morning, too? So there was meat, but they wanted something else. They wanted something more. And because with them, too, they had sheep. They had goats, right? They were nomadic. So there was meat around to be had. Maybe they didn't want to give up their goats. Maybe they like the goat milk and things like that. But otherwise, shepherds could use their flocks to make more animals and save them to make milk or cheese. So there was meat to be had, but it wasn't ones that they could really use. So God, each day when they woke up, would give them manna on the ground. Now, none of us have ever tasted manna, but it's the Bible kind of says it's pretty tasty. In Psalm 78, it's called the bread of angels. So maybe it tastes like angel food cake, right? Huh? No? Okay. But Numbers 11, verse 7 and 8 tells us they would use the manna into cakes. They would ground it and cook it in a pot. And so manna was like little wafers that God had given. And so verse 8 tells us that it tasted something maybe with like olive oil. And if you like olive oil, then that's kind of like what it probably tasted like. So it wasn't like it was disgusting, like our communion wafers that we have in our little cups. You know, not that, you know, it's good, but it's God redeems it, but it's not the most delightfully tasty thing. So manna tastes like olive oil, and it was, you know, so God was kind of taking care of Israel at that time. But even the most delicious thing can get boring if you eat it every single day, right? Everyone always does that. If you had to eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would you want to eat? But after, you know, maybe after 10 years, you would get sick of that, even if you really like it. So not everything we say is a complaint or an evaluation or anything like that to God. Some things are very important and some are very necessary. But then what's happening here is there's unhealthy complaints to God. And it has, and unhealthy complaints has very specific features based on this passage. First, when we are ungrateful for the good stuff we have received from God and focus on what we don't have. So an unhealthy thing is when we're ungrateful for the good stuff, our worry about what we have is so great that it's taking away from like us being able to at least see some of the good stuff that we have. Complaining is not good when we don't thank God for what we have, but we complain about what we don't have, and it grows into more and more, and it becomes more and more what we focus on. If we look carefully at this passage, we will find there's a lot more to be thankful for in the lives of the Israelites than there is that is complaint worthy. They're lacking kind of a valid reason to complain. They have more reasons to celebrate and virtually no reason to complain. If you look at God's track record just in this chapter, God set his people free from hundreds of years of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. They weren't going to be under the whip of the Egyptians anymore. When the Egyptian army came, God drowned them in the sea, so he took care of like their enemies. In the desert, when they were hungry, he provided them with bread from heaven. When they were thirsty, he opened up a rock and water gushed out of it. You see how grateful they should probably, you know, looking back, one little thing compared to all these other, and I'm going to keep going. You know, then God's people were about to enter into a land where the enemies had been swept away by hornets. This is in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. And anybody who has been around hornets probably knows how crazy they can be. They live in cities that they didn't build, find homes that they didn't bring any furniture for, drink water from wells that they did not dig, eat fruit from orchards that they hadn't planted. But instead of singing, they're what? They're whining. They're complaining. They're grumbling. when they should have been dancing. They're, instead of complaining, they should have been, another word, celebrating. Yet this whole chapter is one that talks about complaining. And the icing on the cake is, and you won't believe this, this is only 3 days into the desert. 3 days, and they're already complaining about what's going on. 3 days have passed since Mount Sinai, and the people aren't happy. And the Hebrew word for complained is anan, which means, like, it means actually to mourn. Their complaining was a moaning that was stemmed maybe from self-pity, fear, or something else. Israel, like I said, had so much to be thankful for, but they focused in on what? The smaller thing, right? They focused in on the thing that was more, you know, well, what about the meat, even though we have all these other things? So we have to balance being thankful. If we don't thank God for the things that we have, family, the food, the church, the school, the community, the jobs and the friends, all these other things, if we complain about why, you know, some things are, you know, in life are unfair, unreasonable compared to other ones, especially for kids, maybe why are my friend's parents so much nicer than you? Not autobiographical, but maybe. But we complain, you know, or we complain that our food is the same every day, or we don't go out to the restaurants like our friends do, you know, or we complain that our car is really bad, or our gadgets are outdated, or things like that. Our laptop still runs on Windows 95, right? Right, Chuck? That our jobs are boring compared to someone else's, our house is too small, all these other things that we kind of can focus in on. These are unhealthy kind of complaints to God. These are things, instead of being thankful, we complain and are ungrateful instead of complain about what we don't have. And this is especially common when we begin to compare what we don't have when we compare it to others, which you saw over and over in this, in my examples. So unhealthy complaining is more of a focus on others as opposed to being open and honest about our need and the reality that we find ourselves in. Another feature or characteristic of unhealthy complaining happens when we forget the blessings that we have and wish for something that would actually cost us more or isn't really all that we thought it was. That's what the Israelites do. In verse 5, they say, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that was free, right? They're like, oh, the fish in Egypt, you know, the Nile has lots of fish and it's delicious. You know, fish was plentiful and they ate them. But now they don't have fish. They're in the desert, right? But I bet those Nile fish, like we said, are probably really delicious. But they remembered they ate the fish and now they don't have it, and yet they said the fish they ate in Egypt was free. Well, it did, but it did cost them, right? It cost them their freedom. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. But they don't focus in on that part, right? They just remember, oh, well, the fish, we could get all the fish that we wanted, but at what cost? They're kind of doing this selective memory kind of thing. Would you rather be a slave in Egypt and eat fish or a free person and eat bread? There's a great comedian, Eddie Izzard, who has this thing about the Spanish Inquisition, and he says, you know, they run around going, cake or death? And everyone's like, oh, cake, please. And he's like, oh, they didn't think that through. So I think we'd rather be a free person and eat bread, but when the unhealthy complaining takes over, we actually aren't thinking clearly about what the circumstances around it is. When my brothers would complain to my mom about food, notice I'm saying my brothers, you would eat and say, you know, are we having leftovers again? You know, what do you think my mom said? Well, I mean, church appropriate, what do you think my mom said? Think she'll say, you know, I'm not running a restaurant. Any other mom ever say that, right? If you don't like what I make, you can make some food, you know? Any other moms do that? But just raise your hand. Okay, good. I just want to make sure my mom was normal. So you have a choice. You know, you can either be quiet and eat what's set before you, or you can cook something for yourself. And let me tell you, most of the time it was, pretty much all the time was, I'll just eat whatever is in front of me. So the big thing is be careful what you ask for, because you might get it, right? And that's what the Egyptians are kind of, that's what the Israelites are kind of like forgetting, that they want these things, but they got to be really careful because they actually might get it. It's like my friend, daughter wanted to, saw all their friends like being able to walk to school, and they lived kind of further out, and they were like, oh man, all my friends get to walk to school, you know, why don't I get to walk to school? And they're like, well, you know, it's not the bus, you know, it's pretty far, we'll drive you and things like that. And it's like, no, I want to be like my friends. And so they said, okay, we'll drive you to a closer distance and you can walk into school and see what it's like. But they did this in the middle of winter. And so they drive them in, and they're following her from a safe distance. Don't worry, my friends are okay. And they drive along, and they're keeping an eye on her. And, you know, she even after maybe a five-minute walk, they picked her up from school and like, oh, do you want to walk to school again tomorrow? And she's like, no, I'll take the bus. The bus is fine. It's all good to express our feelings, but when we over-complain, we feed that part of our hearts and it infiltrates and taints our view of so much and all these things that could be a blessing. We think the grass is greener or we misremember, and when we complain, we lose out. Things that we don't have, that's, you know, when we complain about things that are not how we think they should be, that could actually cost us more or actually aren't as good as we think they are, that's unhealthy complaining. Another thing, another feature is we don't want to get into this over-exaggerating of our hardships in terms of complaining. That's unhealthy complaining. When we complain to God in a healthy way, we don't over-exaggerate what the hardship. God knows what we're going through. This is a hard one. It's like, maybe a friend of mine, like, all of a sudden is in the lake and he starts thrashing around. He's like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, just put your feet down. You're in like 2 feet of water. But it's like starts freaking out. This is so easy to do. We can frame it in a way that makes it sound much more hard. It's like, oh, the lake was so deep. You know, it's like, no, you were like, you're just in the beginning. It's like, just put your feet down. You know, it's not, you don't need to complain. The way he told it, it was like, he was 20 feet out and, you know, things were really bad. I remember hearing similarly a conversation when I worked as a nanny, and Dave, no comments. I worked as a nanny on the coast of Maine in Bar Harbor, and I was in line, and this is a true story. The people behind me, one said to the other, you know, like a lot of people don't realize how much insurance is on a Ferrari. It's devastating. And I was like, I would love to find out. I would love to have that problem to find out how much insurance costs on a Ferrari. It's, you know, and we see that. It's the same thing we see with social media like Facebook and other things where we tend to make things sound a little more hard or hardship than they really are, because it gives us a little bit, makes us feel a little better. It makes people feel maybe a little bit more sympathetic. We can embellish those things, but that's not really good complaining when we do it with God. It's not born out of exaggeration. We think we have the worst thing in the world. We think no one suffers as much as we do. We think our situation, our life is worse than in the world. But if we really thought about it, this over-exaggerating isn't true. Honestly, even with hard things, just, you know, the idea that there are many people in the world that would gladly trade their life for your life. Just to walk to a sink and turn it on and get clean water is a luxury that a majority of the world doesn't have. So the idea that you can go down and fill up, and every time, not like I do this every day where I'm filling up my water and it's like, I'm so grateful that I can turn on the tap. But it's true. There's so many people that would just want to have that, just that. And here the Israelites are over-exaggerated when they complain to God. In verse 6, they say, you know, we've lost our appetite. You know, we're not even hungry. We never see anything but manna. And when they're using words like never and all those other things, they have other foods. They have other things to eat, but they're exaggerating the state of affairs. And so it's really important to not do that. And the last one, the last feature, this is really, all the, you know, they're getting harder as they go, and this one is tough. But we want to always be careful when we complain to God, is that we blame God for the problems. And there are things, and it's God, like we've talked about, we can take things out on God. We blame God for our troubles. We lash out at God for making life hard. And if you're at the loom or you saw the video, we talked about this, and it's okay to complain to God. God can handle it for sure. God has broad shoulders. But when we have the mentality of blaming God for everything, even the things that are our own choices, this is where it gets sticky and tricky. We don't take any responsibility maybe for the problem, even if we brought it in on ourselves. We don't see that other people's parts and the role that cause the pain that we feel. We forget about the good that God has done. Instead, we blame God for just everything that's bad. And when we see these features, you know, we have not complained before God. Other words the Bible uses this is like, the other words that God uses is grumbling and wailing. The lesson we should learn from the Israelites to make sure we know, you know, you're doing and saying and thinking. We need to know what we're doing, saying, and thinking before we complain to God or as we complain to God. We need to be careful because it grows to be more than an innocent little criticism. It can involve a bundle of wrong attitudes and wrong thinkings, and it leads us down paths we don't want to tread. In fact, this is not the first time the Israelites complained to God. They'd done so before this event, so it's become a pattern of thinking. God has grace and space, but there was something more. Like I said, this particular passage is something that's more of a pattern of thinking that led to them, you know, complaining and not being as close to God. So our question this morning is, and this is to borrow from the bard himself, to complain or not to complain? That is the That is the question. Whether it's noble or in the heart. I don't know. That's all I got. I'll talk to Dennis Jedlinski afterwards. We'll do a soliloquy. He'll do a soliloquy on the lawn for us. But the question is, you know, and for me, I love tangible things to help with us. So what can we do that's tangible in terms of this? Like, all these things are really helpful. But what we can do is we cultivate an attitude of gratitude. It's like the movie Pollyanna. Anybody seen Pollyanna? We watched it with the girls, and if you have not watched it, it came out 60 years ago, so spoiler, no excuses on the other movies that I talk about have come out more recently, but Pollyanna came out 60 years ago. Don't think about that too much. But Pollyanna reframes and finds the positive things to be grateful for. It's a lesson that she learned from her dad, who was a missionary. So everything in this little town that she goes to, she finds something to be, she finds a way to be positive about it. And actually, at first, the town doesn't like her. She's annoying, and she's kind of like, why are you so positive all the time? Like, don't you know the world and what the world's like? But she reframes things, and so that's what we can do. In spite of all these things that we've kind of talked about, is we can find ways to kind of positively reframe the things in our life that maybe we would complain about so that we can be a little bit more like Pollyanna and less like the Israelites in this story. And the way to do that, and these are just some examples, is sometimes things we complain about is the taxes, right? We pay taxes. But we can be glad, you know, we can reframe that and be like, well, I'm just glad that I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug, right? No one's looking at me now. No one's smiling. Because we can reframe that because, well, that means I have enough to eat. The person who watches me work, you know, when you're out in the shadow that watches you work outside, means that we're out in the sunshine. The lawn that needs mowing, the windows that need cleaning, and the gutters that need fixing, no one's ever complained about any of these things. But you can complain, you know, because it means you have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot means that you're able to walk. The huge heating bill means that you're warm. All the complaining about government means that we have freedom of speech. The lady behind us or gentleman in church who sings off key, it means we can hear. It means we're alive. I want to do double on that one. Weariness and achy muscles at the end of the day after Apple Festival, maybe. It means we've been productive. So these are ways of thinking, of reframing, of moving things away from the rabble in the story. Remember that it's way, way okay to complain. It's a natural part of life, relationship, and coping. But let's learn from the scripture about what healthy complaining looks like. Let's not let the mindset of complaining take hold or the eyes of complaining dictate that the way we see the world. But instead, we find balance between sharing with God who loves us and all the concerns and all the worries and all the bothers that we have. But at the same time, be on the lookout for the blessings that are around all of, around us every moment. Amen.